It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God as we come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a joy to have you along today, and I hope that you enjoy the study of the Word. We're continuing the study in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We're going to read the 9th through the 16th verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. While you're looking those verses of Scripture up, I would love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and that's just one block north of the Dairy Queen. The Dairy Queen's on 136, and it's just one block north of the Dairy Queen. We sit right on the corner. Please come and see us. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to see you. I do hear often of folks that are listening to the program and enjoying the study. Please, that you let us know. Let us know if you've come to know the Lord Jesus. We'd love to know that. And again, Parkview Bible Church, Hamilton, Illinois, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Now that you have your Bibles open, I hope that you do have an opportunity to follow along with me today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, again through 9 through 11, or through 16. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after we've read his precious word today. Father, I ask you that you'll just guide and lead us and show us the very steps and every little thing, Father, that you want us to do. And sometimes we fail to come to you with small things. We seem to wait for the big things before we think we have to turn it over to you. I ask, Father, that we don't do that, that we turn the small things and all the way to the big things to you, and we do it quickly, and that we wait and see what you want us to do and where you want us to be and how you want us to act, that we will be the servants of you and servants of the mighty God, that we can praise and honor and glorify your precious name. And the only way we can do that is if we serve you. So I ask that you do make us servants, pleasing service unto you, servants unto you, Lord. I ask, Father, that you'll touch the heart today as we continue to go through particularly this 11th verse. I ask that you will show us very clearly concerning the need to come to know Jesus as our Savior, and also that we'll turn our heart and our life over and make Jesus also the Master and Lord of our life. Please, now, that you would guide and lead us as we study your precious word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful to be back. It seems like that we never have enough time to visit, never have enough time to go through the wonderful Word of God and look at all the sweet verses. Last week, we went through the verses above that in the 9th and 10th verse. We're going to cover those a little bit again today, but I want you to once again take a look at all the things that the Lord Jesus has done for us. We're going to spend much time concerning verse 11 again, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, we're going to spend some time talking about that verse today, and probably most of the time will be spent on that verse and visiting and talking about it. But first of all, I want you to remind you what the Lord Jesus, the steps that he has taken to save us. We've talked about that Jesus is God. He is no less God than God the Father, no less God than God the Holy Spirit. There are three in one, and yet three completely different. And it's hard for us to understand how that they can be separate and yet one. But that's what the Word of God tells us. And each one is no less God, but Jesus is the one, the Son, that God the Father has sent down here to save us. And He did that by means of the cross some 2,000 years ago. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's look at the steps that Jesus has taken by the obedience, to be obedient to His Father, God the Father, to come down. And let's look once again in the second chapter, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, I want you to have the mind of Christ. And the only way you can have the mind of Christ, if you know Jesus as your Savior, then you can begin to set the Lord Jesus to be your Lord as well. And that's the steps that we need to look at. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Again, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are all equal. Now, a lot of people, again, want to take the power of God away to where they say He isn't God, wasn't God when He came down here upon earth. That's a lie. The Scripture is very clear that He was God in heaven, God the Son. He is God the Son here on earth. Listen to what verse 7 says. Made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Now that's all the steps that the Lord Jesus has taken, being obedient to the Father to come down here upon this earth. And again, I'll go through them very quickly. He came down from heaven. He made Himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. Being fashioned as a man, He humbled Himself. He became obedient to death, and not only obedient unto death, but also obedient to death on the cross. Now, I hope that you know Jesus. I hope you listen so carefully today, because I want you to know Jesus so that you can know the Father. And the only way you're going to come to know the Lord Jesus, if you'll listen to this precious word and let the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you let the Holy Spirit convict your heart today, and He will introduce you to Jesus. And then by knowing Jesus, you can know the Father. And we'll talk, I got several verses of Scripture for you to see today. Okay, we've got those steps. Now, we started the other direction concerning the way God the Father treats and knows and believes of God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Here we're talking about God the Son. Look at this. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him. God the Father had lifted up God the Son, Jesus. He has given Him a name which is above every name. Now, this is just a review from last week. But He has given Him, God the Father, has given God the Son a name that is above every name. It continues in verse 10 to tell us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus. That is the name He received. We read last week concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus. I was looking for the scripture verse here very quickly. As we were looking through there, and I don't see it very right now, I have to, there it is, Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. You know, sometimes when you're looking for something, it's when you can't see it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. And Mary and Joseph were told to name the Son of God Jesus. We are told here in Philippians, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Paul records it for us, that God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Do you see the connection between God the Father and God the Son? God the Father highly exalted the Son, Jesus. God the Father sent the Son, God the Son, Jesus, down here on earth to seek and to save those that are lost. And every person on this earth that has ever or will ever live is lost. Jesus come to save us. Now, I tell you, I love to tell people about Jesus. I want you to know that you need to know Jesus because He died on the cross of Calvary that you can live. He died there for your sin. And when He died, you know, a lot of people don't have a lot of questions about Jesus dying. Well, He died for our sin. He laid in that grave for 3 days and three nights. But He came out of that grave alive. We're in the book of Acts up in La Harpe and at the study up there. And when we study this precious Word of God, you know, no one really had a doubt or a question that Jesus died. But what got Paul in all kinds of hot water was when he started to talk about the resurrection. Because the resurrection meant that that was God. First of the resurrection, Jesus is alive. I want you to trust in that living Jesus. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to follow now as we look through here. And once again, just a little bit of review, and I'm taking up about half the time to review, but these verses of Scripture are too important to miss and to not touch on a couple of times. And so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth. Now, last week I told you, and I hope that you heard it, I hope that you listened very carefully, that yes, we can understand why that every knee shall bow in heaven. And we understand it's difficult for us to understand even here on earth, because many people deny Jesus. Again, they speak of God, but as we're going to look in a few minutes here back in John, you cannot know God the Father unless you know Jesus the Son. That's the reason I spend all the time talking about Jesus, because Jesus will introduce you to the Father. And so we need to understand that we need to come to know Jesus, and by taking the precious Word of God and giving it out, it allows the Holy Spirit to use and take that Word by us being ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, preachers of the gospel, giving out the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit can use that precious Word and touch a heart and convict a heart and bring them to introduce them to Jesus, or they can reject Jesus. But when you come to know Jesus, then Jesus, He will show you of the Father. But you've got to know Jesus. You've got to know Jesus. A lot of people reject Jesus here upon earth. That'll go on, has all the time, and always will go on. People will reject Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear Him, they don't want to listen to Him, and they sure don't want to hear the name of Jesus. Does that convict your heart? Does that upset you when I say the name of Jesus? Well, if it does, my friend, you need to come to Jesus today and be saved. You need to be saved, and the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. The things under the earth. Let's get right to hell. There's going to be a time. If you reject Jesus Christ today, and maybe you've listened since we've started, I think this is the 123rd radio program that we've had, so it's not been on for a long time, but quite a little while too. And maybe you've heard me time after time tell you that you need to come to Jesus. But you've come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses, and maybe is that, hey, I have said the words. I have said, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. But you didn't have a heart change, because, my dear friend, you're going to know when Jesus comes in to live. And if you don't know that the Holy Spirit lives within you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when you come by faith to Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves in to live. And your life will change. You can't live that same life. You'll try, but you can't. Oh, it's a joy to be a Christian. It's wonderful to walk after the Lord Jesus and know His presence in my heart and in my life, to walk after Him. But I tell you what, if you cannot trust in Jesus, if you just won't do it, you're very, very foolish. I don't care what kind of a doctorate degree you have attached to your name. Maybe you have a master's. Hey, whatever you have. Maybe you just went to high school. Maybe you just graduated from grade school. I don't care what level of education you have. If you refuse to come to Jesus, you're foolish. You're showing your ignorance. Because you need to come by faith to Jesus and be saved. But if you won't, you refuse to bow your knee to Jesus, there will be a time. Again, this is a lot of review from last week, but we can't miss this again. There'll be a time if you do not and have not come to Jesus Christ by faith, there will be a time that your knee will bend and you will bow before Jesus Christ. Say, Larry, I don't believe that. And that's fine. Because it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That's what the Word of God tells us. There's going to be a day that you're going to bow before Jesus. Now, if you refuse to trust Him as your Savior, that He has died on the cross of Calvary, and you've rejected that, then when you bow and you're in hell, you will bow before Him. And you'll acknowledge Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But He will not be your Savior. He cannot be your Savior because it's too late for you. It's too late. Now, if you live in a dead, you're serving in a dead church and they don't preach the gospel and they don't tell people how to be saved, well, you got a whole boatload of people then that's going to be bowing before the Lord Jesus. Before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they will bow. And it's going to be too late. And they're going to ask that liberal preacher. They're going to ask that liberal church, the other church members and the church board and those people. They're going to ask, why? Why did you run away from the truth? Why didn't you want the Word of God? Why didn't you listen to that call when it went out and asked you to be saved, but you rejected it and you turned away? And why, preacher, didn't you proclaim it? Why didn't you stand boldly for the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Please, stand and fight for the Word of God. Stand boldly for it. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, they'll acknowledge, my friend. Their tongue will confess. Their knee will bow. But to a whole lot of people, it's going to be too late. Oh, would you come today? Would you trust Him as your Savior? Please, that you'd ask Him into your heart, that you can be a child of God. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I love the book of Colossians. I love the Word of God. Love studying it. Love reading it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 to begin with, and then we'll read a little further in the chapter. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Look what God the Father has done by sending Jesus the Son. You can come by faith. Look at the 14th verse. In whom we have redemption through the blood, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You've got to come to the Son. Your knee's going to bow someday. Why don't you come now? Realize you're a wretched, lost sinner, I don't care how many times you said it with your mouth, confess it with your mouth, and believe it in your heart. Let that Holy Spirit have its free will with you, His free will with you, that you will confess your sin and turn unto the Lord Jesus. Come by faith to Jesus. Please now look on to the 19th through the 20th verse. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, you can be reconciled with the God of this world, the maker of this world, the creator of this world, the only God, the holy God, God the Father. The only way you can be reconciled with God, God the Father, is that you come to know the Son, Jesus. You got to know the Son. You can't say, God has done this in my life, God has done that to my life, and then when somebody mentions that Jesus has done this for my life, you get upset. You get a little nervous. Well, if you get nervous and upset when you hear the name of Jesus, I'll tell you one thing, and that is you're not saved. And you can tell me right back, Larry, you can't tell me that. I'm telling you that if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to like the name of Jesus. If you just know Him as a man that lived, and you think you can go straight to the Father, God the Father, and you can talk to Him all the time, well, you can't, because you have to go through the Son. The Holy Spirit teaches us of the Son. The Son brings us to the Father. It's a glorious way that we have. It's God's way. It's the only way. And it comes by means of His precious, holy Word. Don't pervert it. Don't turn it around. Don't make it something that you want it to say. Have it say what it says. And it's God's Word. It's God's Word. Look at those two. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. A lot of people hate to hear about the blood. They hate to hear about their living in sin. They hate to hear the name of Jesus. They hate to hear the word repentance. Well, I'm asking you to repent. Turn from your wicked ways and be saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, have I covered all of them for you? Do I have you upset enough now? I hope so. I hope I get you so upset that you turn to God and you says, God, what is He talking about? Because I know that if you'll turn right now and meet Jesus at the cross, you can be saved. I want you upset. I want you upset over your sin. I want you upset over the rejection of the Lord Jesus. Please that you come to Jesus and be saved. Please that you be saved. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Every tongue, I'm back in Philippians chapter 2 verse 11. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. We've got several verses of Scripture here to read. And we're going to run out of time like always. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know why people don't find it? It's because nobody's talking about Jesus. Everybody's talking about God's done this, God's done that. They're talking about somebody they don't know. I want you to know Jesus so you know who you're talking about. And you got to come to Jesus first. God the Son, Jesus. Narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye should know them. And I tell you, if you're not in the house of God, I question whether you're saved. And again, I get in all kinds of hot water when I say that. But I'm telling you, God tells you not to forsake the assembling, and you're sitting there calling yourself a Christian. There's a problem. You need to find a house of God that preaches the Word of God and stay in it. I've known families that float from church to church to church, and that's pathetic. You find a house of God that preaches the Word, and you stay in it, and you get to work. You know them by their fruits. They're like a traveling salesman. They can't stick long enough to settle into anything. The reason is because God convicts their heart of something they ought to be doing. So the only way to get away from that conviction is to leave that church and move on somewhere else. I ask you that you settle down. Get back to that church that preaches the Word and stop your running around. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now here's what I wanted to get to. Verse 21. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils or demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, ye that work iniquity. You hear what that's saying to you? You can act like a Christian. You can talk like a Christian. But until the day you come to know Jesus, and you become a tree that God can produce good fruit from, so that people will see and witness, and you folks that run from church to church, you're probably not saved. Oh, I'm going to get you mad again. If you can't stand to hear the name of Jesus, you're probably not saved. Oh, you're mad again. Are you mad enough to get right with God? Are you mad enough to get on your knees and say, God, he's right. Jesus died for me. I'm a wretched sinner and I need to be saved. I want you upset. I believe that we're in the church age of the Laodicean church. And that church is lukewarm. That means you can take me or leave me. You can listen if you want to, or you don't have to listen if you don't want to. Either way, don't bother me. Larry, you believe that, that's fine. You're wrong, but go ahead. My friend, I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you you're saved by the blood of Jesus, so don't deny the blood. I'm saying Jesus died for you, and Jesus is the only way. The Son of God. His name is Jesus. If I can't get you upset about your sin, you're probably never going to turn to Jesus to be saved. It's not my work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's who really is upsetting you. You're going to blame me, and I don't care. You can blame me. Just get saved. Just trust in Jesus. Many will prophesy. Many will call him Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Many people say, God's done this in my life. God's done that in my life. Oh, the Lord is so wonderful. You start talking about Jesus, there'll be some fruit come from you. We'll know you by your fruit. We'll know without a question. My friend, it tells us in verse 11, Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. I didn't get through half the verses. We'll begin next week where we left off. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When are you going to do it? I beg you to do it now. Meet Jesus at the cross. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Please confess Jesus Christ with the mouth and believe in the heart. Please be saved. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?